NBA free agency has started off with some wild stuff going on. I'm going to talk about what's happened in day one of free agency today. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Well, as I said, NBA free agency has kicked off. Look, just wild shit, really. This stuff going on all over the place. I'm recording now at almost midnight East Coast time in the US. So I'm going to get through everything that's happened so far, and then before I end the show, I'll check back to see what's actually gone down in the interim, and I'll report on that as well. But let's start off by talking about NBA free agency and what has actually happened so far. Let's start off, I guess, by talking. Now let's go through the deals in the order that they went down. That's how we'll do this, because the first deal that got agreed upon was Goran Dragic coming back to the Miami Heat, 2 years. $37.5 million team option for the second year. Again, trying to preserve that cap space. The same with the other deal that came down. Miami really big early on. Myers Leonard, 2 years, $20 million. It's $9 million in the first year. Again, a team option in the second year. It's a massive overpay for Myers Leonard, but he's just going to come in. He's going to eat minutes in the regular season. He's not going to play in the playoffs. They'll piss him off at the end of the season. They won't pick up that team option, and then they'll have that cap space. I guess it's a reward for him being a really reliable contributor for them during the regular season. As for Dragic, don't expect playoff Dragic type performances during the regular season. He won't be that good, and there's a real chance he doesn't even start for them during the regular season. Maybe they go with Tyler Hero in that role. He'll play a much smaller role. He played 28 minutes a night last year, 119th ranked player, Dragic. I'd expect, you know, maybe he plays an extra minute or two, but not to the same level that he did in the playoffs. They also brought back Gabe Vincent on a two-way deal. I thought he was okay, but he's not going to be an impact guy. Facundo Campazzo, Argentinian point guard playing over in Europe, he has signed with the Denver Nuggets. He is really short. He's 5'11", but he is, like so many European point guards, a really, really strong passer. And yeah, probably going to compete for backup minutes on this Denver Nuggets team. Will he be an impactful guy with the headmaster starting? Probably not. But Campazzo's already played 20 games this year, 24 minutes a night. He's shooting 32% from three after shooting 38% last year, but averaging over 5 assists per game, almost 2 steals per game. There's some fantasy relevance in his numbers, but he's just not going to get the minutes. And then Wes Matthews signs with the Lakers on a 1 year, $3.6 million deal. Campazzo's deal was a 2 year deal for Denver. Matthews, with the Lakers losing Danny Green and likely losing Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley, Matthews is probably going to start, I would imagine. They might bring him off the bench and start Dennis Schroeder replacing Danny Green in that role. They're going to replace Danny Green and likely Avery Bradley. So maybe both Schroeder and Matthews are starting there for the Lakers, but he's unlikely to be any sort of fantasy option. So that's the first five deals that went down. Nothing too crazy there. Yeah, we make jokes about the Myers Leonard deal. Little did we know that later on, shit would get absolutely wild in terms of some of the deals that went down. Drew Eubanks. Thought he played pretty well at the end of last season. A two-way guy for the Spurs. He signs a three-year, $5.3 million deal, totally fine to be a backup center. He can block some shots. Again, never really going to be a massive fantasy option or anything along those lines. And then Dwayne Bacon goes for a two-year minimum deal to the Orlando Magic. He has a team option on the second one. He was actual trash this season for the Hornets. Started off as their starter and then played like the first game and then really didn't play again. He shot 35% from the field. In theory, he's a wing player who can shoot. In practice, he isn't. He doesn't do anything else, and I don't really know how he's going to fit. Maybe he takes the Weza Wundu, Melvin Frazier type role on this Magic team. They should be prioritizing Cole Anthony, although he's obviously more of a point guard than what Bacon is, but Bacon is just never going to be a good fantasy option. And then the madness started. after I shit on the Pistons draft, and I maintain I didn't like what they did in the draft, and I'll continue to say that I didn't like what they did in the draft, they just lost their mind. Now, I say all this, there is potential more things coming for the Pistons. There are moves they could be making in sign and trades and whatever. There's stuff they could be doing. But they drafted Killian Hayes. I loved it. They drafted Isaiah Stewart. I hated it. I couldn't have hated it more. And that was in a deal that they got back from Houston. And now that appears to be a sign and trade for Christian Wood. So they got Trevor Ariza and that pick 16 in a sign and trade for Christian Wood. Hated even more. They got Tyler Bay. They got Sadiq Bay in a deal that netted them Bay and Rodney Magruder, who they're stretching, and they gave out 4 second-rounders and Luke Kennard for the privilege to draft Sadiq Bay. And I think there's a real chance Bay is never as good as what Kennard currently is. I just don't rate him that highly. I hated that one. Then they traded for Dwayne Dedmon, sending out Tony Snell and Kyrie Thomas, and they've stretched and waived Dedmon. Now, I understand that it does help them because Dedmon could be stretched over 5 years instead of 3 years with Snell, so there is some method in that. But then the way that they spent their cap space, Mason Plumlee, to be your starting center, like, what are we doing here? 3 years, $25 million for Mason Plumlee is too much. Jahlil Okafor in a 2 year minimum deal. Okay, Okafor's fine, but you just drafted Isaiah Stewart. You've got Blake Griffin there. You had at the time Christian Wood and his, you know, maybe he was coming back. Then they also brought in Josh Jackson. Like, not a guy you should be prioritizing. A guy that, you know, was okay for Memphis, but didn't play in the bubble. Wasn't part of their rotation there, even with Justice Winslow hurt. And then they bring in Jeremy Grant, which we'll get to. Actually, let's get to it now. Jeremy Grant, 3 years, $60 million. Now, Jeremy Grant had a pretty good bubble. I am absolutely flabbergasted to think that he is worth $20 million. Now, all these other moves, you can say, all right, you've got roster spots. You're going to be terrible because you want Cade Cunningham and you want shots at getting Cade Cunningham or BJ Boston or one of those top three or four players, Jalen Green or Suggs or whoever you're looking at the top of the 2021 draft. That's fine. I get that. These moves are shithouse. Plumlee, Okafor, Isaiah, they're terrible moves. But why are you spending $20 million on Jeremy Grant? I don't think he's going to make you better that you don't get that, but you are obviously spending $20 million on Jeremy Grant thinking he's going to make you this much better. He is, yeah, I don't know what happens with Blake Griffin, and by the time I finish recording this show, Blake Griffin might be out of there. He might be traded somewhere else. Yeah, he could be, yeah, all over the shop. Yeah, who knows where Griffin ends up being. But at this point, he's still there. So I don't... Yeah, you bring in Janan Musa for Bruce Brown. You draft Sekou Doumbouya last year. Yes, different front office. And now you're going to play Jeremy Grant at the three next to Blake Griffin and Mason Plumlee. Like, I just don't know what the idea is with this team. Are you trying to be good with Jeremy Grant? Are you wasting $20 million a year because it doesn't make sense? I have just so many questions about what they're doing. And then they lose Christian Wood, and that he is going out in that sign and trade for Trevor Ariza and pick 16, which they wasted on Isaiah Stewart. Just honestly, just baffling. I don't understand. And maybe this all coalesces, but what they did on draft night, I didn't like it. What they're doing now, I don't like it. It could all turn around in the next couple of days. I'm fully aware of that. And maybe there's some miraculous move that they make that just looks fantastic. At this point, I'm highly skeptical of it. Jeremy Grant is good. He's not $20 million a year for 3 years for literally the team that's going to be the worst team in the NBA. He is not that player. Troy Weaver knows him from his time in OKC. Fantastic. No worries. But, just the priorities here are out of whack. And that is being absolutely kind. And we'll see how it works out later on. There's still things that can happen. Patrick Patterson went back to the Clippers on a 1 year minimum deal. Cool. That doesn't really mean anything for us from a fantasy perspective either. Jordan Clarkson signs with the Utah Jazz. 4 years, $52 million. I think it's a little bit of an overpay. Like, he was pretty good last season, so maybe I'm being a little bit harsh. I'm more worried about the 4 years for Clarkson. But he was, last season, 158th ranked player in 24 minutes a game. He scored 15 points per game. He doesn't do anything else, really. He was a solid bench scorer. $13 million, again, it's maybe a little bit too high, but you know, it pales into insignificance when you're looking at some of these other deals. I think it's okay for him. It's far from great. It's not terrible, but it is a strange one. De'Aaron Fox, a max extension for him from the Sacramento Kings, 5 years, $163 million. And if he makes first team All-NBA in that time, it'll go up to $196 million. So that is huge. There's other escalators in there for second and third team All-NBA. De'Aaron Fox is good and they need to lock him up. I'm not sure he's worth this much, but I think that's a move that they had to make. So it's hard to disagree too much with it. Derek Favors goes back to Utah, and I criticize Utah for, you know, trading away Tony Bradley and pick 38 so they could draft Udoka Azubuike with pick 27. People said, that's fine. They're doing that. That's their backup center. And they bring in Derek Favors to be their backup center. 3 years, $27 million. I think Favors is really good. I don't think they're going to play him really at all with Rudy Gobert. So why are we wasting pick 27 on a center who doesn't really make sense in the NBA? Get a wing in. Their shooting guard rotation at the moment, the Jazz, well, their guard rotation, it's Donovan Mitchell, it's Mike Conley, and it's Jordan Clarkson. And by rotation, I mean that is their entire roster of guards. The other guy there is Mia One, who's probably going to be a rotation piece. With pick 27, take Desmond Bane. Take anyone there who could be a guard. Like, that's why that pick made no sense, especially if you knew you were bringing Derek Favors back. Favors, ripper bloke, very good player. Injuries are a problem, but he's in a perfect role here. And I don't hate it for 3 years, $27 million. But it is a strange one. I've already talked about Josh Jackson going to Detroit. Is he going to be in the rotation? Who bloody knows with this team? There are so many things up and down with them. Regardless, he needs the ball in his hands a ton to be useful for fantasy. And even then, he struggles with his poor percentages. So I'm not looking at that too much. And then the last one, the Italian cock.
Hands off my cock!
Danilo Gallinari goes to the Atlanta Hawks. So much for taking less money to be on a title contender. 3 years, $61.5 million. For Danilo Gallinari, it's a lot. My concern here with this is Gallinari. Do they want him to play the three? Because he can't. He can't. He can't defend on the three. He's too slow. He is strictly a four. The problem is they have John Collins as a four. The problem is they have Clint Capela as a five. The problem is they have Onyeka Okongwu as a five. The problem is they have Cam Reddish as a three. The problem is they have DeAndre Hunter as a three. Now, I don't like Hunter that much. I think Reddish is totally fine. I think Gallinari on paper, it makes sense as an upgrade. But where are we literally playing him as a three? And then Huerter, Reddish, and Hunter are taking the minutes at the two plus the backup minutes at the three. It's a strange fit. Are they trading Capela? Are they trading Collins? More will come out in this, but it's a lot. For Gallinari, who is really good. He is declining, but he is quite good because he's like, what, 32, I think, now? 32. He played 30 minutes a night and averaged 19 points per game. He was the 72nd ranked fantasy player. Look, he could exceed that this year because he could play more minutes. I'm just not sure how this fits. And for a team who's defensively as bad as they currently are, Capela will help that. Okongwu will help that as a backup center. They got 48 minutes of solid center play. Getting more from John Collins in terms of not getting suspended for being a drug cheat would be handy as well. The fit is a little bit questionable for me here for Danilo Gallinari and the Atlanta Hawks. Dwight Howard tweeted that he was coming back to the Lakers, and then he wasn't going back to the Lakers because the Lakers said, oh, we're thinking of a deal. And Dwight said, all right, cool, I'm in. I'll tweet it out. And the Lakers had to send him a message and say, Dwight, you're not signed. We're just saying there's an option here. We're thinking about it. And he went, ah. Like, just typical Dwight fuckery, really. But he goes to Philadelphia on a minimum contract to be Joel Embiid's backup. Now, the story coming out here that the Sixers could promise him more playing time than the Lakers is absolutely laughable. Because he's not playing with Embiid, I'm telling you that. And what are they doing? Going to play Embiid 30 minutes so Dwight can play 18? That makes no sense. But Howard, 1 year minimum, is really strong. If he is as switched on as he was last year and understands his role the same way he did last year, then it works. It's a good signing. Rocket Rodney Hood, 2 years, $21 million back to the Blazers. There is, I think, a team option on that second year. But for a guy that tore his Achilles, and he's going to be healthy at the start of this season, I'm pretty confident in that. He won't be the same player, but good for him. They need wings. He's there as a wing now, and they've got a few wings coming in. We'll talk about more of that later. But a strong deal for Hood. I wouldn't say he's going to be a fantasy option, but yeah, strong enough for him to be there. And then another confusing one, Malik Beasley. 4 years, $60 million. Now, he is dealing with a legal issue, which is not great. He has a team option on the third year, but they just spent pick one on Anthony Edwards. So do you just feel committed to Malik Beasley? Beasley's fine. He was a good scorer last year when Carl Anthony Towns was out and Anthony Edwards wasn't on the team. But he's not going to have that usage. He's probably not going to be that level of a shooter. Are you going to play... And Ricky Rubio wasn't on the team. So what are you going to do? Play Russell, Beasley, Edwards as your 1-2-3 and have Rubio play 20 minutes off the bench? What the hell are you doing with Jarrett Culver? You're just giving up on him now? Where's Josh Okogie fitting in? I just think it's too much for Malik Beasley. He's not that good when you have other options there. And realistically, you want to invest in Anthony Edwards. Now, I could easily make an argument, and I think I'd be right, that Malik Beasley over the next 4 years will be a better player than Anthony Edwards. I feel pretty confident about that. That doesn't mean it's a good value player or a good investment from the Timberwolves to sign this deal. Maybe they think they can trade him. I always hate making these deals hoping that you're going to be able to trade him because in essence, it just doesn't go that well most of the time. But they did it. They run things quite differently there in Minnesota than most other teams. And that is a... is that being a bit shady? Probably. They're just not that good. And I'm not really sure how this works for them. I don't know how that backcourt rotation is going to go. It's confusing. The Wizards come in hot with Anthony Gill. Yeah, that's a player. 2-year deal for Anthony Gill, who is a forward, a shooting forward. Shot 43% from three for Khimki in the Russian league, I believe it is. At least played in EuroLeague. Big, big three-point shooter. 44%. Good overall volume. He doesn't do anything else. But he is, what, I think 6'8"? Yeah, 6'8", small forward, power forward, who's a shooter. Probably makes a little bit less sense when we see some of their other moves later on. But just having another guy that can come in on the wing and shoot when you've got Hachimura and Avdija there who can't, there's probably some use in that. And Trey Burke signs a 3-year deal. The exact money numbers for that for Burke haven't come out, but he does have a player option on the end of it. Really capitalizing on his massive, massive form in the bubble and going back to the Dallas Mavericks. He won't be that good, but with Seth Curry gone, yes, he's replaced by Josh Richardson. If he can get hot as a shooter, there is some role there for him in Dallas. He just won't be, in my mind, that same level that he was at the bubble. That's impossible to expect that from Trey Burke, in my opinion. And then, shit got weird. Montrezl Harrell goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, the table. Accepts a deal which is small. 2 years, $19 million with a player option. Harrell's market dried up. He got an offer from the Hornets, which was for more money, but it dried up because of how he played in the bubble. Will he be the starting center on the Lakers? Maybe, or that it is go with JaVale McGee. Look, there's a real chance that Harrell plays more minutes on the Lakers than he did on the Clippers. I think he probably will, given the other centers there. Now, of course, their best center, his name is Anthony Davis, but they refuse to just do that, even though, again, in the playoffs, we saw just how much that matters to have him as your center. If they're using Harrell as a $9 million rotation piece in the regular season and they minimize him in the playoffs, then fine. Then that's okay. But the fit is a little questionable for me with LeBron and with Davis, because we know Harrell needs the ball in his hands. He needs to be featured offensively. Defensively, he struggles. Now, Davis can cover up for him. There's no doubt about that. But it's about, yeah, what use is he providing if LeBron and Davis are out there with the ball in their hands the whole time? He's just running around looking like he's creating energy. That's my worry with it. The money is totally fine. I get him as a regular season contributor. I worry how it's going to happen in the playoffs for him. But yeah, it's totally fine in terms of money there. Davis Bertans. 5 years, $80 million. I think my big concern for Bertans in this deal is his... And not for Bertans, fantastic for him, great. For the Wizards, is he's 28 years of age. The $18 million a year... Oh, sorry. $80 million over 5 years, which if I do quick maths...
2 + 2 = 4. -1, that's 3. Quick maths.
$16 million a year over that time frame. It's probably a little bit much. He's a really good shooter. He doesn't do too much else. He's a good scorer. Where are the Wizards going? They've drafted Hachimura. They've drafted Avdija. You know, where is he fitting in? There's Troy Brown on the roster. Is he playing more or less than the 29 minutes? Is he getting more or less than the 19 usage he had last year? This team's in flux. By the way, John Wall requested a trade, so that's awesome. So I don't know where they're going. I'm just not really sure. I'm just not really sure where... where he goes from here. Like, I just don't get it. It is a where the Wizards go. Like for the fight, the 3 years and 16 is fine, but 5 years and 16 is probably a little bit too much to me. Alec Burks, 1 year, $6 million to the Knicks, totally fine. They don't have a ball handler. He's not really a point guard, but he can fit into that guard rotation pretty easily, and he'll probably play mid 20s of minutes. He won't be as useful as he was on the Warriors last season, where he was quite good, but he'll be better than he was on the Knicks. And don't be surprised if he does have, than he was on the Sixers. Don't be surprised if for the Knicks, he does have some fantasy value. I've got to see how it all shakes out so far, but there's a real opportunity here for Burke. So not a bad signing. Massive deal for Joe Harris, 4 years and $75 million. He is elite as a shooter. Doesn't do too much else, and the Nets are really just paying up here. Does this take them out of James Harden? I'm not sure that it does. They can't include Harris in a trade at this point. They have to wait. You know, he's been signed, so you got to wait a bit of time for that. I don't think he was going to be included in the deal anyway. It is a lot of money, but if they're willing, that they are going for a championship, so if you've got to spend the money, you've got to spend it. So I don't hate that for Joe Harris. It is more than Davis Bertans, but we're talking about teams with different timelines and different perspectives. And Harris, obviously, is on a team that is going for a title, and Bertans isn't. Harris is also 29 as well, so it takes him through to 33. It probably looks a little bit ugly at the end of that. And then the Jeremy Grant one, as I mentioned already, 4 years, 3 years, $60 million for Detroit. I honestly have no idea what to make of that. Grant is a guy that is going to get more minutes and was a fantasy useful player for the Thunder a couple of years ago when he played those minutes. So he's probably going to be a draftable guy, but the shooting percentages can be rough. He's not the highest steals and blocks guy, and he's a terrible rebounder, in fact, but he should get a usage bump and should be useful enough for most fantasy leagues at this point, would be my guess. Garrett Temple goes to Chicago, 1 year, $5 million. Totally fine. Is he going to be a rotation guy? I'm not sure, probably, but he's just always a low stats guy that's an unbelievable person, an unbelievable leader. Totally fine for Chicago to do that. No worries at all. And then Christian Wood, who it was announced was getting a 3 year, $27 million deal, and then that was quickly deleted. And he ended up with a 3 year, $41 million deal, going to Houston in a sign and trade as part of that Ariza deal on draft night. Wood will step in to be the starting center for the Rockets immediately, I would imagine, and he'll put up really good numbers. Now, if Westbrook and Harden remain there, then usage... Now, remember, Wood's numbers... Wood has produced at a high level for about 20 games, so let's not get too over the top on him. His defense is a worry. It is a concern. And the numbers he put up in Detroit were without Derek Rose, without Blake Griffin, and without Luke Kennard. He was literally the only offensive player on that team. If Harden and Westbrook are there, he's not going to get all of those opportunities. But who knows how long they're going to be there. By the time I finish recording this, one of those guys could be gone. So his value is up in the air at the moment, but it is an opportunity for him with those guys likely going, that he's going to get a massive opportunity to be a top 30 guy, maybe? I don't know yet, but that's a possibility. Derek Jones Jr. goes to Portland. 2 years, $19 million with a player option. Hood, Covington, Zach Collins, these are all in the mix at the 3-4 positions. You know, obviously Jones is more of a 3, as is Hood. I think the idea of Derek Jones is better than the player that Derek Jones is. He was 178th ranked player last year. He wasn't in the rotation for the Heat in the playoffs. He played 23 minutes a night. He's a guy that has high field goal percentage on low volume. He can't shoot threes. He doesn't pass. He can get some good defensive numbers, and that's where he can get fantasy value. But I have to look to see how this rotation plays out. Because if he plays 30 minutes a night, then sure, he's worth looking at. I would say, given how the roster looks, he's probably more of a 22, 23 minute a night guy. And then he's not most likely going to be useful as a fantasy guy. Robin Lopez goes to the Wizards for a 1 year, $9 million deal. Hasn't been 100% confirmed, but they said it's the full mid-level, which for the Wizards is probably about $9 million. Might be around $7 million. It's around that mark. Feels a lot for a guy that looked completely washed last year. They have Tom Bryant there. They have Tom Bryant. Now, will Lopez be the backup to Bryant? He should be, and he can give defensive ability. He's never going to be a good fantasy guy in this role, but I just feel like, why are we paying Robin Lopez this much money? If we're talking about paying someone too much money, Marcus Morris got 4 years, $64 million from the Clippers. I didn't get the fit with him and Kawhi and Paul George. He had a rough go of things in the regular season. He played pretty well in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. And just on the Clippers, if it's a Zubats, he's going to put up massive numbers, I think. He's going to play a lot of minutes, and he's going to be really good. Morris will play some backup center too. I just think that Morris is significantly overrated. He's also a shit bloke, and that definitely goes against him in my books. It's too much for Marcus Morris. He's not this good. He is significantly overrated, in my opinion. And I just think that the Clippers were like, much like the Nets, you know, we're here to win a title, so we're going to have to pay. And I think that's pretty much what the idea here is with Morris. Congratulations for him for cashing in. But I think overall the deal is too high for Marcus Morris at this point. All right, let's get on to the next bunch of guys that signed. James Ennis goes back to the Magic. I don't see any terms on that except 1 year. I imagine it's a little bit over the minimum. Ennis was the starting small forward at the end of last season, and with Jonathan Isaac out for the season, there is Chuma Okeke there, so maybe those two battle for some starting jobs, but it's not likely that Ennis is going to be any sort of fantasy-relevant player. Justin Holiday goes back to the Pacers, 3 years, $18 million. It seems like a decent chunk. Now, Holiday is much older than you think. I'm just going to have a look to see how old he actually is. I think he's like 32 or 33, who played a pretty strong role for that Pacers bench unit. I think that there's a chance he's going to be 32 in a few months' time. I think there's a bit of a chance this is an overpay, but he shot 40%, 41% from three. He's a pretty good defender. I don't completely dislike this for him, or for them, actually. But, he's going to be 34 in the last year of this deal. That's probably a little bit too much. There's a lot happening here with the Pacers in terms of pursuit of Gordon Hayward, which I haven't even mentioned. Hayward opted out of his contract, and the whisper is that he might be going to the Pacers. He might be going to the Knicks. If Hayward does go to the Pacers, then they might have to give up someone like TJ Warren, and then you just assume that Hayward steps into those minutes. But Holiday will have a role. It won't likely be a massive fantasy role, but he was a top 150 player last year, in large part because of the steal numbers, but as an excellent steal streamer with some three-point shooting, there is some value there for him. And then the last guy, by the time I'm recording this, who has signed is Jakob Poeltl, 3 years, $27 million with the Spurs. Now, I like Poeltl quite a bit. I think he's a guy that should get more minutes. He played just 18 minutes a night last year. I think with Aldridge having 1 year left, it's probably not going to be a great scenario for Poeltl this coming season unless they trade Aldridge. He should play more than those 20 minutes, but they do have that spacing concern, and they'll probably get a little bit more Keldon Johnson into the mix at the four, pushing Aldridge to the five. There's still Trey Lyles there, which is the alignment they went with last year. So while, Poeltl might be an interesting flyer at the end of drafts, I think really it's going to be the 2021-2022 season where he steps up, becomes a 27-minute-a-night center, and is a top 70, top 80 player. Advanced stats have always loved Jakob Poeltl. I think they'll continue to do that. He blocks shots. He's a high percentage finisher. He's a good rebounder. He's low usage, and his free throw shooting is shit-ass. There's no doubt about that. So I think it's a good piece of business for the Spurs to sign him for that amount. I just think we need to be a little bit careful in terms of how we project Poeltl out this year, because there are still other options for the Spurs, and they just didn't use him all that much last season, despite how impactful he has been when he's been on the court for them. I think we're probably another year away from Poeltl being a real large level contributor. Now, in looking at anything else that's going on, it doesn't appear to be any other moves at this point. So I'll wrap it up there. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give it a thumbs up, leave a comment. I can see that Ruckus is up here with me, my dog, waiting to say hello. There he is. Hello. Say hi. All right. He's going back down. I'll be back tomorrow to recap. Oh, just as I do this, Pat Connaughton has signed a 2-year, $8.3 million deal to return to the Milwaukee Bucks. Connaughton is, obviously they don't have that hard cap issue with the Bogdan Bogdanovic sign and trade, which isn't going to happen. Looks like he could be going to Atlanta. Connaughton will just be a rotation piece. And of course, we know not a good fantasy option. But guys, that'll do me. I am out. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.